Hi, folks. It's time to put your mouse ears on for the Mouse Ears Podcast with Brooks, Kara, Kelton, and Steph, where we discuss all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairytale Journeys Travel. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Mouse Ears podcast. My name is Kelton, and I'm one of your co-hosts tonight. I am back from a long month of traveling for my day job, so it's nice to be back with everybody. And with me tonight, we'll go around. Hey, thank you.
At the Mouse Ears podcast, we support each other.
That's right. So we'll go around the camera here, starting to my right. We got Brooks with us. Brooks, how's it going?
Hola, going well.
There we go. And then down to the bottom right of my camera, we've got Steph. Steph, good evening. How are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm doing good. How about yourself, Kelton?
Doing well. Great to be, real nice to be back. And below me, I've got Kara. Kara, how are you hanging up in the Northeast? What's going on?
Oh, I got to tell you something. It is beautiful up here. The heat finally went away, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Sorry.
Boy, that must be nice.
When you say heat, what do you mean by heat?
I mean 95 degrees felt like 102. We had a heat warning the whole thing.
I know.
Oh, we've had a heat warning for like a month.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know, which is why I don't live there. One of the many reasons I don't live there.
I think the other day it was only supposed to be high of 90, but with the humidity and heat index, it felt like 105 to 110.
Yeah. No, I don't like
it. Oh, every day. Really bad. Florida.
But today, absolutely gorgeous. Sunny, clear, like 70 something. Ugh, I could take that all year round.
Despite the heat and all of that stuff, we got a topic tonight that's going to help us stay out of the elements for the most part. And it's honestly a topic that I am beyond thrilled that we get the chance to do, because it is probably next to the food at the Walt Disney World Resort. It's transportation. I am all about the Walt Disney World transportation and everything that it has to offer. So we have quite a few things we're going to be covering with you guys tonight. We're going, kind of taking a deep dive here, and we're talking about the buses. We're talking about the monorail system. We're going to talk about all the boats. We've got Skyliner. We got the parking lot trams. We've got the minivan via Lyft, and we even have your own personal vehicle. We're diving into
every day of the week.
Pretty much.
There you go.
So we could be here for a hot minute.
Buckle
so
up.
Besides
so grab
that,
your popcorn and
for a
your...
hot minute. I see what you did there, Kelton. Yeah.
So grab your popcorn and the nice new pickle milkshake that's now available at Food and Wine Festival.
Oh gosh, this pickle!
Don't knock until you try it, folks.
I gotta know. And when this airs, if you try the pickle milkshake, please comment and post in the group. Let's see it. Let's hear your thoughts. Because I tell you, I'm not trying it. Absolutely not.
If you feel so inclined to, if you would like my personal opinion on it, if you would like to Venmo me money to try and get my personal opinion, I will include that in the show notes if you would like to.
Ooh, just throw it out there. If people actually do, you will have to go live.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And we want, absolutely.
And I will give my honest opinion.
That's all that matters.
Just for reference, I do not mind Beverly.
Well, okay. So you've got like taste buds of steel, basically. All right. So we know where we're starting from here.
Well, I want everyone to know, too, that in case they haven't already seen it, myself, Steph, has written a blog article for the Mouse Ears blog on a review of the pickle milkshake, the now famous pickle milkshake. So if you don't know what we're talking
famous
about,
or infamous.
Infamous.
Now famous, infamous. It's slowly growing traction.
Mouseness.
Yeah.
Either
right?
way, all in all, like slide over the Beverly. Here comes the pickle milkshake.
Don't hold back, right, Disney?
Oh, that should be a poll. Which one would you take? Which one would you go after, the Beverly or the pickle milkshake?
Oh boy,
that could be tough.
Well, let's talk about how we're gonna get to Epcot to get these various beverages. There's so many ways.
There are, and you know what? So probably the one way, if you've been to Disney, you've seen them around, you've probably ridden on them, and I am talking about the buses. So for those who don't know, if I thought I've said it enough times as it is, I used to be a Walt Disney World bus driver. And the spiel, I'm going to play this for just for a hot second, but this, I mean, when you get on, if it doesn't give you like goosebumps, what are you doing in your life? So here we go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Transportation System. We're on our way to the Magic Kingdom. For your safety and the safety of others, please remain seated while the motor coach is in motion. If you're standing...
So there you go. Just a very short, brief. So make sure, stay seated. If you're driving, buckle up. If you're standing, hold on to the silver handrails or the grab handles, because it's going to be a wild one. So we've got, we're going to talk about buses. And so Disney has, well, pretty much all their transportation is free of charge and included when you stay on property. There's only one thing that is a separate charge, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. But for the bus systems, we've seen them around. So Disney has over 470 buses that drive around just Walt Disney World property. And they're used for y'all as the guests. They're used to shuttle the cast members around backstage at like Magic Kingdom and Epcot. They're used for entertainment. So like when they're getting ready to set up for the parade, there is actually what they call a parade bus that helps shuttle some cast and some of the characters to different portions in the park. And they're used for everything. So over 470 buses as of July of 2019, which puts them the third largest in the state of Florida, you know, just behind Miami and Jacksonville. So that's quite a number for just, you know, a small area of the state. I got a few other little quick random facts. I mean, they put down over 12 million miles a year between the fleet. So if you think of how much drive, I mean, that's a lot of driving that those bus drivers do.
Just on Disney property. They're just not like hitting I-4 or anything.
Nope. No, goodness. They're not. It's a lot. So breaking down and kind of getting into the real nitty gritty of it, the resorts are the ones that are serviced by the theme parks. So the bus system works on kind of like a airline hub and spoke type of system. So when you get on a bus from, let's just say, Coronado Springs, okay, if you get on a Magic Kingdom bus, that bus will always return to Magic Kingdom no matter what. They may not be going back to Coronado when, you know, they get to Magic. They may go to another theme park, but the theme parks are the ones that service the resorts. And they service pretty much everything on property except for, you got your Good Neighbor hotels, which are over by Disney Springs. They've got the Waldorf. Is that the
Waldorf?
Yes, that one. Off of Lake Buena Vista. That is also a separate bus service. And it's unfortunate, but the Walt Disney World Swan, Dolphin, and the Reserve are no longer serviced by Disney, which is a bit of a bummer, but that is okay. There's other modes of transportation that we'll get into down the line here. But from the resorts, you're getting up, wanting to get to the parks early. I know for me, in the Florida heat or the 2 weeks of winter they have, you don't want to be standing out at the bus stop when, you know, just sitting there waiting for a bus. So one thing they did when they came out with the My Disney Experience app is you can actually see what time the bus is estimated into whatever stop, you know, your room may be at. So if you're at a multi-stop resort, like one of my favorite resorts, Old Key West, and you may be staying down at the Old Turtle Pond Road bus stop, you can actually go in and see when that bus is scheduled to be at that stop. So you leave 2 to 3 minutes early, get down there, and walk right, you know, right onto the bus, finish going around the resort.
I just want to say what a game changer that is. Like, truly, it's such a big help. First of all, used to be you used to go to the bus stop and you just sat there and you just waited and you had no idea when another bus might be coming. Then they added to the bus stop the board where it tells you there at the bus stop when the next bus is estimated to come. Yep. So great, that's an improvement. But then when they added it to the app, like, there have truly been times where we've been in the room, I'm like, okay, we got to get going, I'm like, let me check the bus, and I can say, guys, it's coming in 10 minutes, and that gets everybody going and out of the room, because otherwise then you're going to be waiting another, you know, 20 or so it makes a difference. Yep. It's so great.
That, you know, really, that it has been a game changer. Nothing lights a fire under somebody faster when the bus is supposed to be there in 5 minutes, right, and it's a 6 minute walk. Let's get going. One.
Yeah,
exactly. So buses run, you know, with that being the main mode of transportation, buses are pretty much always running around the, you know, the resort. They start running about an hour prior to the earliest park opening. They run all day and they stop about an hour to an hour and a half after park close. However, a little side trade secret, you can always get to where you're going until about, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. So Disney Springs, will service like the boardwalk. So if you're out at Jelly Rolls or, you know, dining somewhere on the boardwalk and it's 12 o'clock midnight, and you know there's no park open at that time, you're thinking, well, how the heck am I going to get back? Disney Springs closes at 1:30. So buses are always running. And even at that point in time, they do stage a couple of buses at Boardwalk to take you wherever you want to go. So there's always some mode of transportation around until about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then you just go and get yourself a Mears taxi and call it a day from there. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other things that a lot of people don't know is the bus system actually kind of becomes a little bit of an internal shuttle for some of the larger resorts. I mean, you've got Saratoga Springs, Old Key West, Coronado Springs, Port Orleans, Riverside, that are all multi-stop resorts. And actually, if you look at it, there is not a bus stop that repeats the same name. Every bus stop throughout the resort has a different name, and they did that for the reason of so nobody gets confused. So like bus stop 1, 2, 3, and 4 at Coronado Springs, you won't find that anywhere else on the resort. So a little, you know, side and trade secrets. But so your internal shuttles do run within those large resorts. So you do have, like for Saratoga Springs and Old Key West, Disney Springs runs those internal shuttles. So they'll all pretty much with that, they do two stops at the, you know, the check-in desk. So that would be either the spring stop for Saratoga Springs or Hospitality House for Old Key West. But that's real. I mean, the only other thing I can think of would be for those that want to do the water parks through the summertime. You know, if you don't have a car, your bus is either bus or Uber or Lyft are going to be, you know, your main options. So you can transfer to either Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach, whichever one is open, at either Disney Springs for Typhoon Lagoon or Animal Kingdom, the theme park for Blizzard Beach. But all in all, that's really what I have for the bus system. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, so the buses are kind of, Well, they're the, you know, the biggest mode of transportation there, because no matter what resort you're staying at, you're going to be taking the bus. Animal Kingdom, the only way to get there is by bus. Well, or Uber, Lyft, or minivan. But by and large, the only way to get to Animal Kingdom is by bus. And then even if you're staying at a resort that has a boat or a monorail or a Skyliner, you're going to be taking a bus to, you know, one or two of the parks at least. So everybody's going to find themselves on a Disney bus at some point. So
they definitely will.
And the other thing too,
it's not a bad ride either.
No,
it's air conditioned. They're always blasting the AC. Yeah, they're in like these meat buses.
It's fabulous.
So
exactly,
the drivers do not have. Oh, it is either full blast or off. So if it's raining,
I prefer.
Guess where it's gonna be? It's gonna be full blast. Just, you know,
I feel like every time I go on it, especially at the end of the day, when you know you're sweaty, you're gross, you're icky, and I get into those buses and the AC is pounding, I am shivering because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sweaty and I'm freezing. So, but I mean I'd rather it cold than not, honestly. But definitely get cold something easy to keep in mind.
Yeah, just take a jacket with you and stick it in a locker at the front of the theme park. And boom, now you have it for the bus ride home.
Especially in the summertime. If you have a rain jacket, not a bad idea.
And I want to say, too, you talk about it is a good ride. As someone who has to take a shuttle from a parking lot at work to where I work every day, and some of them are similar to the buses at Disney, the quality of the drivers and everything.
Definitely.
I mean, that bus can be full, but I mean, it's a smooth ride. And
yeah,
definitely.
I never appreciated that as much until I started riding some of these shuttles and I'm literally getting lifted out of my seat because they're just flying over a bump or something. And Disney, the experience, even the ride back and forth, you're cool. You may rather be cold than hot. And even though it might be cramped, it's still a smooth ride.
Well, so totally Brooks, true.
You bring a really, really important point. And, you know, Disney, the world property is its own, you know, metropolitan, right? They've got their own lanes just for buses. They've got lights buses. So, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm always complaining sometimes, like road rage, right? It happens. Huh? And you're on the highway and you're like, oh my gosh, these buses or these 18-wheelers or whatever, they shouldn't be in the far left lane. And well, in Disney, they have designated lanes. So it just makes for that smoother ride, you know? And on top of that, personally, I always think that the buses are very well kept. They're clean. They're always.
Oh, always.
You know, I feel like they're
just. You can charge your phone. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
You can charge. And some of them do have Wi-Fi now as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it sounds silly, but sometimes I'm just tired of seeing my phone all day. And I like to just sit there and look at the different, like, they have all kinds of Disney ads and propaganda and things like that.
Like the TV
and I
shows
learn about things like shows or movies or even books that I honestly wouldn't know otherwise. It sounds so silly, but it's those little things, those little Disney touches. I mean, you know, put aside the wraps that they put around the buses, even just the inside, it's just awesome. You can't go wrong. I mean, would you want quicker modes of transportation? Yeah, possibly. But that's because you're just so excited to get to and from the parks.
Well, and that's a good point, too, about the outside. Like, you know, my goodness, these buses, you could get Mickey, Goofy, Pluto, Daisy. You could get the Cinderella bus, which is my favorite because it looks like Cinderella's coach. You could get the Incredibles. I mean, it's, you know, and that's one more thing that makes it fun for the kids. Like, we're sitting here, we're waiting in this line, and it's like, all right, which bus do you think we're going to get? You can make a game out of it. You know what I mean? And then they're so excited, like, oh my gosh, we got the Donald bus or all that kind of thing. But also, back to the drivers, and I'm not just saying this because Kelton's here, but at the end of the day, the bus drivers, they're cast members. And it's mm-hmm. the Disney difference. It really is, because we've been on buses where the bus driver is, you know, giving us all this information, all this history. It's so interesting. One recently where he was asking all these trivia questions, which I felt a little bad because my husband and I were getting them all because I host Disney trivia. But that was so much fun. A client who was there not long ago sent a picture of his little girl, you know, in her princess dress. She'd gotten Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Did they deal with
the bus driver kneeling down in front of her and getting her autograph because she was a princess? And I mean, please talk about just making their day. So, you know, all these things. And it's funny, right before this, I was talking to my boys and I was like, we're doing this on transportation. And I said to my 11-year-old, I said, what's your favorite? And I couldn't believe it. He said, the buses. And I said, really? He goes,
score one for the buses.
I didn't expect that. And I go, oh, really? Why? He goes, they're the fastest. I'm like, really? He's like, or they seem the fastest. And as we know, perception is reality. So it is. Take it from an 11-year-old kid. He thinks the buses are the fastest. Hey, great. So yeah, they're just fantastic. So actually,
once you get under, you know, once you get under movement, it's really only, I mean, a max of 20 minutes, even from, you know, the Magic Kingdom all the way out to Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's everything is within 20 minutes and you can time it. And if I'm wrong, please let me know in the and comments honestly, when just this sitting, podcast comes out.
Sitting for that amount of time is just, it's lovely.
Yep.
It's well, such you don't a nice worry little... about driving, period. I mean, that's always a plus if you ask me.
Because, and I will say, I mean, and we'll hear it a little bit further into the podcast, but driving on Disney property, by your, if you haven't done it before, we'll go into it later, but it's a beast on its own. Shall we move on to our next mode?
We love buses so much.
We're going to do a little introduction here and hopefully our listeners can pick up on it rather quick. But here's our next mode of transportation.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas. Please stand clear.
Tell me that when you hear that, you don't try to say it in Spanish either.
That's, I mean, just instant serotonin.
No habla español in this house over here. It is so bad. But that one I have been practicing for years.
Mm-hmm. What's your best impression, Kelton? Come on, let's hear it.
I was a bus driver, not a monorail cast member. Can't do it.
Yeah, it gives me goosebumps. I love the monorail.
it is a special one. Brooks, can you take us into the monorails?
Of course. So, I would say the monorail, when people think of Disney transportation, I feel like that's what they think of, what pops in their mind, first of all.
The highway in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because it is so unique. I know there's monorails in other places, but I mean, the first one I ever saw was on when I was watching TGIF, you know, TGIF Fridays, and whenever they were having the crossovers in Disney World and seeing the monorails and so excited to finally ride them. And so the monorails, they are currently 12 Mark 6 trains, which, correct me if I'm wrong, they were built in 1989. Which sounds to me is crazy that there's 12 of them. And they're 203 feet long, consisting of 6 passenger cars, and they can carry a max of 360 people. And they reach a max speed of 40 miles per hour, which is a wild ride in itself. I mean, if you think about going 40 miles an hour, but it's smooth. And the command center for the monorail central operates out of the Epcot platform at the transportation and ticket center.
See, that one I did not know, and I always wondered that.
I didn't
that.
Either.
You know, so yeah, that sitting up there, now it all makes sense. It really does.
And what's crazy too is they've been operational since 1971. And there's 14.7 miles of beam that all these trains travel on. And then they're stored inside of a shop that they have 10 spots. And you may be thinking, well, Brooks, you said that there are 12 trains. The last two are stored at resorts. Which the monorail resorts, as you know, you have the Contemporary, you have the Polynesian, you have the Grand Floridian. So you may be during at the stay of one of those resorts, you may see the monorail park there at night. And the current
perfect
colors
photo ops there.
Oh, definitely. Current colors, they have red, coral, orange, gold, yellow, teal, lime, green, blue, silver, black, and peach. And you'll know what train you're on by what color it is. There's three tracks. There's the resort loop, which I love. If I was ever on a trip by myself and I just wanted a relaxing day, I would just get on the resort loop and just go. If I had a non-park day. But it starts at the TTC. And then it goes to the Polynesian, then the Grand Floridian, the Magic Kingdom, and then the Contemporary, then loops around and goes through those again. The Express Loop, it'll go just to the TTC, to Magic Kingdom, and then back to the TTC, which is the shortest loop, which is why it's considered the Express Loop. And then you have the Epcot Loop, which was opened October 1st, 1982, which goes from the TTC to Epcot back to the TTC. And over 150,000 people ride these monorails every day, and over 50 million people a year.
Wow.
And I always count it a great year when I'm one of those people.
For sure. Yeah. The word iconic gets used a little too often these days, but I'm sorry. The monorail is iconic. It is.
It's just something that you don't see anymore.
Sorry, Kelton, what were you saying?
It's just something that you don't see anymore.
No.
Right.
No.
Which is a bummer.
And I just think it's the OG transportation.
Yeah.
You know, at Walt Disney World.
Right.
So
since 71.
I just automatically associate it, you know, like when it comes to the monorail specifically, I feel like my day at the park starts with the monorail much more than any other transportation. It's not knocking the other transportation. It's just that nostalgia feeling starting with that stand clear of the doors, you know.
It really
brings you back. It's so captivating. And then, you know, I don't know about you guys, but it also, when it's not at the end of the day and you get, you know, first few rides, it smells pretty good. It smells just like that, like AC blasting. There's like a smell, like almost like the resort smell. Does that, am I crazy? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Not particularly.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So with the monorails having, you know, especially at the ticket and transportation center, you have the Express and the resort loop. For a Florida resident like yourself, Steph, I mean, you know, you were just there. Do you judge the, like, when you walk up, because, you know, you got the ferry boats to your left, which we're going to get to, do you look at the lines and go, I mean, that Express line is looking a little long, and I have time, like, my reservation for like Skipper Canteen isn't for an hour, maybe I'll go the resort route? Like, do you ever sit there and kind of decide, or is it just like Express route, I gotta get in, I gotta get my popcorn, gotta get my Mickey bar, and then it's parade time?
That's a great question, Kelton. This might seem like a cop-out, but honestly, I feel like for me, it's always weather related. If it's like a nice day, not super hot or whatever, I'll go with the ferry. Plus it's scenic. I feel like I'd get some good pictures, and I like to see, you know, I like the ferry boat. The monorail, much more of a nostalgia feel. I typically always do the resort loop no matter what, because I love the resorts. Like, I you know, for me, it's just a nicer, even if it stops, I even feel like the stops are quick. Like, mm-hmm. there is nothing like riding the monorail through the Contemporary Resort too.
That never gets old. I was just
about to mention that.
It never gets old. It really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Even just watching it to go through or riding on it, it's cool every time.
And the monorail goes right in front of the park, right in front of the mm-hmm. train station.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just nice no matter the time of day, whether it's at night with the lights or during the day.
Oh, man.
So I just personally love taking the monorail resort loop. I don't have a preference, I guess, between like the ferry and the resort, like express,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as like trying to get to the park quickly. I think the only time that I actually really was like time crunch was trying to get to the Tron annual pass holder preview, you know, be there by rope drop because I was first in that morning. But as a Florida resident with an annual pass holder, I'm not in any particular hurry. I think mm-hmm. the monorail or the ferry are part of my experience being there. I hope that answers your question. Oh, yeah. It was not a yes or no.
No, but you know what? We're not looking for yes or no. We're looking for, you know, everything.
That personal experience.
The personal experience. And we're going to go off with personal experiences and the ferry boats. We're going to go off to our boating section, if you mm-hmm. will. Kara, there's quite a number of boats that run on the Walt Disney World property.
There are.
No.
And they're all awesome.
What do you got?
We've already mentioned the ferry. So the ferry is one of your options when you go to Magic Kingdom. So Walt kind of wanted some separation from when you arrive in the parking lot and then actually get to the Magic Kingdom. So that's why you have to take either the monorail or the ferry. So, which is great. Everybody loves an option. So the ferry boat is lovely. It's, you know, kind of relaxed. It gives you a nice view of Magic Kingdom. It gets closer and closer and closer. Yeah. And so that's always nice. And especially, you know, if it's first thing in the morning, you get to see a nice sunrise. Same thing at night, nice sunset. It's nice if you happen to be leaving during the fireworks, you get this nice view of the fireworks. So yeah, it's just a nice experience all around. So we love Wilderness Lodge. That is one of our favorite resorts. And we've talked about the monorail resorts, which are all fabulous, obviously, but I like to tell people about Wilderness Lodge because it's in the Magic Kingdom area of Walt Disney World, but it tends to be a little less expensive because it's not on the monorail. However, you still get boat transportation to the Magic Kingdom, which I have timed, and I've timed it at 12 minutes. So
that's not bad.
Talk about a nice way to start your morning. I mean, truly, it's so lovely. Don't get me started on Wilderness Lodge. It's such a lovely, relaxing, beautiful atmosphere. You walk out onto that dock, your boat pulls up, you get on it, and you're on your way. And, you know, here comes Magic Kingdom into view. I mean, it's just beautiful. Again, you get to watch the sunrise. It's so nice and relaxing. Same thing coming back. And another thing that's so great is when you get off on the dock, you have your own security. There's this little security area there that you go through. And once you're through it, you're done. You don't have to go through the big main security that everybody else is going through. So I love that part. That part's really nice. So Polynesian has boat service to Magic Kingdom and Grand Floridian has boat service to Magic Kingdom. Contemporary does not because it's so close. It's such a quick walk. They really don't need it. So, you know, we've stayed at Polynesian and Grand Floridian, and I think we usually take the boats more often than the monorail. And it's funny, we've had times we've gotten to the end of the week where we're like, oh my God, we haven't ridden the monorail yet, and we have to do it. Because you got to do it, you know, it's like we were talking about before. It's like a thing, you know, it's like, my God, well, we got to get on the monorail. So, but, you know, one time we were staying at Grand Floridian and we were so close to the boat dock. It was so convenient. We just came out our door, went left. There we were on the dock and off we went to Magic Kingdom. I mean, I find it so relaxing.
And you get a nice breeze too.
It is. You know, it's so pleasant. It really is relaxing.
All those motor launches being wide open. Yeah, it's really nice.
And if you get there early enough, like, gosh, we've had a time. We had, I can't remember if it was Grand Floridian or Poly, but we got on the boat. We had it to ourselves. We were the first ones. We were ready to, like, wait. He's like, no, let's go. And off we went. We had our own private boat service to Magic Kingdom. I mean, please, you know, you can't beat that. And I will say, now, again, we love the buses. However, when you get on the bus with a stroller, it has to be folded up. You have to fold it, whether it's a double stroller, a single stroller, you got to fold it. The boats, some of them you have to fold, like the boats from Poly and Grand Floridian are a little smaller, so you do have to fold those. The ones to and from Wilderness Lodge, they tend to be the kind of bigger ones, and you can usually just roll your stroller right on there. Now, shifting over to the Epcot area, you've got Boardwalk, Yacht Club, and Beach Club. You can take a boat to Epcot, which to me always seems kind of funny because it's like literally right there. But you can take a boat over there, or to Hollywood Studios, which is where I think it's, you know, the most useful. A lot of times what happens is we'll walk to Hollywood Studios in the morning and then take the boat back because, again, it's so relaxing. You get to sit. You're inside, you know. We have had quote unquote races where, you know, I'm like, I'm taking the boat. And the boys and my husband will be like, well, we want to walk. I'll be like, have at it. And they're like, well, we're going to beat you. I'm like, oh, darn. I get to have, you know, 10 minutes to myself. Oh, I'm so upset. You know, and then they like run. I'm like, you fools. And I'm
well, just if you're like, traveling relax. From Epcot to, you know, Hollywood Studios, I do believe they say it's like a 22 to 20 minute, you know, 25 minute.
All the way from Epcot?
From Epcot okay. to Hollywood Studios. Yeah. That's what, if I remember correctly from being on there, I do believe that's about what it, with stops included. So that's not bad.
That's not bad at all. Because horrible. I think it goes to Boardwalk. If you're from Epcot, it goes to Boardwalk, then to Yacht.
So I can
Swan and Dolphin, then Studios.
So it is from Epcot, Boardwalk, Yacht Beach, Swan Dolphin.
Yeah.
And then Studios. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's such a nice option. And I just find the boats relaxing. And again, same thing with the strollers. Those boats are a little bigger and you can just stroll your stroller on there without having to fold it up, which doesn't sound like a huge deal, but when I tell you folding that stroller was like the bane of my husband's existence, it was the one thing, probably his least favorite thing in every Disney trip was having to fold that stroller. So it does. It makes a difference. So when you're able to just walk right on with it, it makes a big difference.
I will say real quick, it depends on the stroller too, because on our last trip, I was fine closing the stroller that we got whenever Ellie was born. But my wife researched and found this one stroller that she saw all these Disney influencers recommended, and it actually folds up small enough to where you can even bring it on as a carry-on on a plane. But when it's full, whenever you pull it out, it's sturdy enough to, Ellie had plenty of room and has like a large sunshade, rain cover, and everything. So
nice.
That one folding up, it was just literally I clicked one button and I folded it up with one hand.
That's awesome.
Now some of the others are a pain in the
butt. Well, we always rented from Kingdom Strollers, and we would do the City Mini GT, the double. We had the double one, so it was to be honest, it's not like hard. They actually make it quite easy, but it's just the heft of it. It's just the, you know, all the stuff. Take the bag off. You have to take all the stuff out of the bottom, you know, all of that.
It does help to do that. Like you said, take everything off, you know, pull everything out, jackets, kids, popcorn buckets all come out from underneath.
Yes. Yeah. Do not fold up the kids. When you get it, just
remember to take out the kids.
Take out the kid from underneath. It's something I've seen. If I haven't, I've seen it. I've seen a thing or two.
That's so fun.
But honestly, just practice. Practice unfold, folding it down.
And just an aside for our listeners and potential clients, we at FTJ handbook your strollers with Kingdom Strollers or any other company that we may recommend for your trips to Disney. If that is something that you need, if you're coming from elsewhere and don't have your stroller, we can also take care of that for you. Just a plug in there.
Just like us, 1,000 miles away.
The other boats that I haven't mentioned yet are over on the Sasagula River, where you've got Port Orleans Riverside, Port Orleans French Quarter, and Saratoga Springs. And those take you back and forth to Disney Springs. So that's a really nice option as well. Those resorts, the transportation to the parks, it's all buses. But there is boat service to and from Disney Springs and from Old Key West, right? Also, is that back up and running? Yep. Okay, because it wasn't for a little while. So now, it's back. So,
and I believe they also even do during like peak times, they'll do a stop at the Treehouse Villas as well for Saratoga Springs.
Nice. Wow.
But I do believe it's only during peak times and peak hours.
Yeah, because those
so
things are...
make sure to check with your boat captain when you get on.
Yeah.
Very and did nice. You know they actually have an internal one for Disney Springs? So they have a boat that goes from the west side to the marketplace and back. Because that's then, a long walk.
If you want to talk about more internal boats, there's the ones in the World Showcase that can take you. Yep. If you're entering the World Showcase from what used to be known as Future World, you can take a boat over to Morocco, or where does the other one go to?
Germany.
Yeah.
Got to go get the pretzel.
So, right.
You say Dr.
Your
Shane.
Top priority is the pretzel, and you just got to get over there and get it. You know, it's funny, but it does. It saves steps, you know, when you've been going all day and it's like, oh my gosh, I have to walk around this entire World Showcase. No, you know, you can hop on one of these boats and cut your walking time almost in half. So, which is why they
also think that like people try to get into lines to certain rides so that they can get off their feet, get some AC. It's a good break, right? This is another really nice break. It's a different type of break, but you definitely don't have to wait in a long line for it. And
it is, it's food and wine season at Epcot. I mean, it's hot. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to walk from Morocco to go back to, I think it's like the Hawaii Pavilion that's up at the front there of, you know, the World Showcase. Why not just take the boat?
You know,
enjoy this, you know, the view on the lake.
It's true. Listen, I love Epcot like nothing else. I love the World Showcase like nothing else. But I don't know what it is. When it hits like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and that sun starts going down and you're walking west and I'm telling you, you are blind and it's like 20 degrees hotter than anywhere else. It's this bizarre World Showcase phenomenon. I don't know. Those buses look really, really inviting. That walk to like, I don't know, from Canada to that stretch, it's just like, oh my gosh,
exactly
so
it's motivation.
It's really intense.
Just put me in the water with the rest of the Disney ducks.
Seriously. Oh,
so we've got buses, monorails, and boats covered. Probably three of the main transportation or modes of transportation at Walt Disney World. However, there are two, three-ish more that are, you know, definitely just as important. I say three-ish for, you know, justice for the trams. But Steph, you know, you've got a couple. Like, I'm going to let you pick on what you want to start with. You go right ahead. Take it away.
Let's start with the Skyliner. You know, let's continue with resorts and Epcot, right? So in that fashion, we've got the Skyliner, which was introduced in 2017 to the Walt Disney World, and it's been a hit. It's been a hit because it connects two parks and how many resorts? One, two,
four.
Three, four, About five.
Well, technically, if you count,
well, okay, if you count
Boardwalk, Yacht, and Beach.
Yeah, that's true.
So, quite a few.
Technically seven.
Thanks, Kara. And sorry, it was open in 2019. The plans were introduced in 2017. Mm. It actually opened in 2019. My mistake, guys. Can't read the notes. And there's about 250 gondolas currently in operation. The designs range from Disney animation, Star Wars, Guardians of the Galaxy, Pirates of the Caribbean, so on and so forth. What does that mean? It's the beautiful wraps around each gondola. That, you know, we talked about earlier how it's a fun thing to do with your kids or for adults, because I know I enjoy it when you're kind of just thinking or trying to figure out, okay, what color are you going to get or what kind of a wrap? The Skyliner is no exception to this. Every single, or they either have a color for you to choose or a some sort of design for you to choose from. And they're beautiful. I mean, they have everything, including some of the new movies. So the kiddos always have a fun time with that. I have a fun time with that. You have a fun time. We all have a fun time with the Skyliner. You can fit a maximum of 10 people. It's a hit or miss whether or not...
It doesn't seem like you could fit 10 people in there.
No, it doesn't. You're right. But you know what Disney does really, really good? Unlike the buses, unlike the monorails, unlike the boats, 8 out of 10 times, you typically get the gondola to yourself.
That is
true.
For
you and your party, which is nice because you literally get to spread out your feet. you enjoy the view. And I gotta tell you, especially
you do not have to fold up the stroller either.
Well, a single stroller you don't, a double stroller you do.
Oh sad days.
It's still, I mean, they listen, when you go to the parks, you just can't get away from the crowd unless you're in your room. This is just a nice little thing that you could do to relax, get a nice breeze, and have just some alone time. You know, it's just nice. It's a different kind of nice, right? they do open 1 hour prior to park open and about an hour to 90 minutes after park closes.
When you go get in line in the morning, don't be, you know, scared of that line. It actually, I'm
yeah,
was very
line
surprised
scary
on
looking.
How fast it moves.
Absolutely.
I mean, even absolutely. When you get off yes. from staying at like Pop Century or Art of Animation, you have to get off at Caribbean Beach. I mean, yeah, that line can be long, but it's you're gonna stand in line. I mean, hello, if you're going to Hollywood Studios, Rise of Resistance is gonna be like 200 minutes, so you're gonna stand in the line anyway. So, but it honestly moves really fast from what I've seen.
It does, and more to that, you would think, because it's like on a conveyor belt, it's a continuous movement. Mm-hmm. Well, if you need a little bit more time, let's say you're in a wheelchair, for instance, and you just, it's too fast, they do have a section in every single one of the boarding where they put to the side one of the cabins, if you will, and it gives you plenty of time to get on, get comfortable, and then whoop, they put you back into the rest of
right,
the
right. You don't have to worry about so it's nice. Not being able to go too fast.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's a really
they come
I think
in hot.
A huge thing.
They do.
So, so we're talking about some of the resorts that the Skyliner goes to. So I'm going to go the route of Epcot. So let's say you are in Epcot, you decide to exit out of the UK. And you go and get onto the Skyliner. It's right there to your right. It's a nice little walk, not too long. You get on and you're going to go to your first stop, which is Riviera Resort. If you want to get off Riviera Resort, great. If you don't, you can continue on. This will then take you to Caribbean Beach Resort. This is what is known as the Skyliner Hub. And here is where you can do one of two things. You're going to have to get off. At this point, you're either going to go to the right where you would get on the Skyliner to head into Hollywood Studios. And yes, they will take you pretty much right up until the front of the gates, which is nice. Or the other option at the hub is if you walk straight ahead, it'll take you to Art of Animation and Pop Century. Okay? So, and if you know Pop Century and Art of Animation, they're just right next to each other. So it's just you get off and you go your respective ways. I did not mention the resorts that are within that Epcot area, Boardwalk, Yacht, Beach, but those are also close enough to the Skyliner, obviously, because it's right next to Epcot, where you can also pop in there. So it's a fantastic mode of transportation, very relaxing. I'm not super sure what the time frames are. It is faster than you would think.
It is quick. But it zips you around. It's nice.
It does. But it's also one thing that you wouldn't know or think about. There's no AC in there, but they have little vents at the top. So when you're zipping through, you're actually getting a really nice breeze. And
yeah, it's not bad at all.
It's not. That was and one the of my wraps worries. Around.
And I've never been on there and been like,
the sun.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's sun that's, you know, being hit inside, but it doesn't get hot like you would expect. Mm-hmm. So it really is a nice ride. So that's one of the great things about staying on the Skyliner resort for Skyliner Resorts is you can pop in and out of either resort or sorry, either park, whether it's Hollywood Studios or Epcot, and switch on over, park hop easy, or if you want to take an afternoon break if it's really hot, it's such a great mode of transportation.
Oh, yeah.
It is obviously become so popular to the point that it has its own line of merchandise, whether it's clothing, it's got there's mugs. Like Funko Pops, there's all kinds of things because it's just become so popular. I personally love the Skyliner. I am afraid of heights. I'm not afraid to admit it, but the Skyliner is just very relaxing and there's so much to look at. Like I'm on it and like, oh my God, look, there's the Epcot ball. Oh my God, look, there's Ruby. And you get to see so much that you almost forget that you are high up in the air going over certain roads. I will be honest, you do go over certain roads. But again, it's just that Disney magic. You, even when you're on it and you're looking at the other cabins that are passing by, you're like, oh my gosh, look at the Pirates of the Caribbean cabin. Like, you know, there's so much stimulation at that point where you're almost excited. So I'm personally a big fan of the Skyliner. I think it's been a great addition to the transportation at Walt Disney World. And I highly recommend it even when you, let's say you're just having a resort stay or you're not going to a park one day. I think it's a great thing to just try out and, you know, resort hop, if you will. So Skyliner, big fan. Do you guys have anything more to add on the Skyliner?
So what, I mean, we all know that Florida has just, you know, a few showers every day. So nothing too bad to worry about. What was it? I think it's two episodes ago. You guys did a rainy days in the in the park. So obviously it does happen quite a bit. I mean, Skyliners are going to go down, right?
True.
So one of the things that I had heard that's really convenient now is, you know, the My Disney Experience app will actually notify you, hopefully, you know, if everything's working correctly.
Right. Ideally. That didn't even used to be a thing. But now, so it used to be in the early days of the Skyliner, if it was raining, if it was windy enough or storming to warrant shutting down the Skyliner, you didn't know until you got to the Skyliner station, which is really inconvenient, especially at Epcot where it's at the International Gateway. And now if you have to take a bus, you got to go all the way to the front. So they have now started to notify through the app if the Skyliner is down most of the time. It's not like a super perfect system. It's a heck of a lot better than it used to be. So usually you will get a notification if the Skyliner is down.
But you have nothing like to fear,
lightning,
though.
Yeah. Lightning and thunderstorms. That would be for if it's over a certain mile per hour for winds, certain storms. Yeah. So let's say you are on the Skyliner resort loop. That's when you would resort to then taking the buses, right?
Because the buses never shut down.
Because the buses are the fail-safe. The granddaddy of them all.
And
that is correct.
And one last thing I think I would add about the Skyliner is, God forbid anything happened. Let's say Skyliner shuts down and you're in a cabin in the air. There are first aid kits in there. They do have them equipped. They do have, I believe they also have a little microphone if you need to speak to someone too in case of an emergency. Don't they?
Something like
that. I do believe so. Something along that line.
So they have taken measures as well, because they're always progressing and making things better and adapting to whatever situations can or have occurred. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things too that they have also incorporated into these Skyliners. So you're never fully stranded.
Well, and
you
that's
should never
why...
feel stranded, of course. But Disney
and that's
is
why
so
Disney's
good about
first
taking
key
care of their
is
guests.
Safety. You know, safety is number one.
Yeah,
always.
So. And something we do get asked is, you know, like the monorail, where you could sit on it and just loop around all day if you wanted to. The Skyliner, you cannot do that. You have to, you know, it's not like a continuous loop. You can take it from certain point to another certain point, but then you have to get off. And then, you know, you can't just like loop around constantly. And I also wanted to mention, because we mentioned strollers, scooters. You can drive your scooter onto a Skyliner cab. And again, like Steph mentioned, they can pull it off to the side, give you extra time to get in there, and then off you go.
Absolutely. But when we're talking about with the parks, I mean, we've mentioned all the parks already. I think there's one mode of transportation that everybody forgets about until you've beaten your feet in the park. And that mode of transportation, Steph, is what? What's the one everybody wants?
Trams.
The parking lot trams.
Oh, gosh, I love the parking lot trams. When they were first brought in, they were brought in back in 1969. You know, obviously at that point they did not have all four gates, but eventually they did introduce the parking lot trams to Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios. Sadly, since COVID, only two parks have brought back the parking lot trams, and that is Magic Kingdom.
Thank God.
Yeah, right. And Animal Kingdom. So the two kingdoms. Sadly, Epcot and Hollywood Studios still have yet to see the return of these fantastic modes of transportation, because you are right, Kelton, at the end of the day, it hits you like a ton of bricks when you've been there. Rope drop. It, you know, you just want to get off your feet. The excitement, the adrenaline pump is just down on the ground and you just want to go down with it. And so having to figure out where you parked or walk whatever distance to the car, the trams are just such a fun and lovely way to get to and from your car into the parks, right? And my favorite thing, and I really wanted to do a shout out to the wonderful cast members, is they are the life of the trams. I mean, I like it for the breeze and just like the convenience of it, but they're constantly cracking jokes. I mean, they can be dad jokes. They can just be like silly, you know, comments to just get people pumped, whether at the beginning of your day at the park or at the end. And it really just makes it like such a gem that people, you know, it's underappreciated in my eyes. So trams, my heart goes out to you guys.
So, and the trams, they have the driver in the front, but what you're talking about, Steph, the people we're talking, they're standing in the back. They stand on this little platform in the back with our microphone so they can see, which is really nice because they can see everything. They can see the length of the tram. They can see if somebody's like in the morning, if the tram's ready to go, but they see your family kind of running through the parking lot, you know, they'll wait and for you to get on, or if it's full, they'll close the things, be like, okay, we got to go. You know what I mean? So they can see everything that's going on, which is really nice. It helps control, you know, the flow of the crowd and everything.
Well, and not just that. I mean, shout out to Disney's training department, what they do, because the team that the tram driver and the person in the back have, I mean, it's like, the person in the back is the tram driver's eyes from where he or she sits all the way back, because I mean, if that person with the mic says stop, that tram driver is coming to a halt as fast as that thing can, type of thing. So, you know, with all of this movement going around, there's safety is still, you know, number one, which of course sadly is why they put the doors on the trams now.
And I'll say that the trams at the end of the night, they do not go, or they do go until everyone is out of the parks. No.
I believe so, yes.
And the trams, they actually hold a lot of people. Each tram has 6 rows of seating per cart. And each row can hold up to 5 guests. And there's multiple carts. You can actually transport over 200 people at a time. Wow. So quite a few, right? The cool thing too about the tram is you actually have wider seats to be able to, or rows I should say, to be able to accommodate 2 strollers and wheelchairs. They do have to be folded, and it is very stressful when you're trying to scramble, put it all together and run in, especially when like they're doing last call to get on the tram and you're just trying to get onto that one. As soon as you park, you will need to fold it no matter what. They will not let you in otherwise.
Yeah.
But again, it's like one of those things like the monorail where you just like, oh my God, you're on it. You made it. It's finally park time. It's so exciting and thrilling. And I just wish that Disney would bring it back for the other parks. So Disney, if you're listening, please, please bring it back. We, yeah, our little feets need it.
Yeah, they really, really do need to bring it back, truly.
So now kind of moving away, this could take a side road here. We're going to move away from, you know, more of that type of transportation. But there's really there's one more big one. And I'm happy that Disney has brought it back. I haven't done it yet personally, but I am when I go in August next month, is the minivans. The minivans through the Lyft app.
And Kara, minivans, have you done MINNIE.
Yes. Mini as in Minnie Mouse.
Yeah.
Kara, have you done the minivans before?
We have. Ooh. And we started using them and then we got spoiled, so we kept using them because they're so convenient, to the point where my kids, you know, 6 years old, are we taking a minivan? I'm like, oh God, what have we done? So I just want to say, you know, overall, the transportation, Disney transportation, in my opinion, is one of the absolute biggest, best reasons to stay on Disney property, like hands down. Everything we've talked about so far, it's free. It's completely free when you stay at a Disney resort. It's continuous. It's clean. It's cast members. It's the Disney difference, you guys. I mean, you just can't sell this transportation to get you around this enormous complex. So that being said, you also do have the options of minivans, which, yes, are through the Lyft company, because you also could get an Uber or Lyft. Like, you could just get a regular Uber or Lyft around property. So why would you do a minivan? Because quite frankly, minivans are more expensive. Like, if you were to open your Lyft app, it'll list your options and the regular Lyft options will be less expensive and the minivan option will be more expensive. So why would you do the minivan? Well, first of all, it's a van. So if you need more room, you know, you've got more people and you just need kind of like a van sized vehicle. Well, okay. That's one thing. It's fun. They're red with white polka dots. It's Minnie Mouse. Like, you know, if you've got kids and you really want to like keep this whole Disney thing, they're so fun. One of my biggest things, because I've been going with my kids since there were almost 3 and almost 1, and we needed car seats. They have car seats. I think they all have 2 car seats, actually. The drivers know how to install them. They know how to use them properly. I have been told and I've heard that with Uber and Lyft, you can get cars with car seats. I've tried. I've looked. I don't know if I'm just doing something wrong. I've never really been able to find them. With a minivan, you know you're getting a car seat or 2, actually. They're clean. That was probably the biggest selling point for us with those, because, you know, we didn't have to worry about it. We didn't want to push that, you know, okay, well, they're five, maybe they're almost big enough to not be in a car seat. No, I was never comfortable with that, you know, so you don't want to play that game. The other thing is safety. You're getting a driver who's a former cast member. These people are vetted. Like, you're going to be in not only safe hands, fun hands. One of my tips is, if people use minivans, ask them questions. They know so much stuff. They have, and now listen, they're not going to be able to tell you when Park Fair is going to open, which that's the information I need, but they will be able to tell you, you know, a whole bunch of stuff about Disney World at large. They're great. They are a wealth of information. Now, this is also a huge thing. So when you go to Epcot or Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom, they're regular parking lots. You can go right up to the park. They can drop you off at the gates, no problem. Before I mentioned Magic Kingdom, the way Walt did it is he wanted that separation. So if you take an Uber or Lyft, they can only take you to the transportation and ticket center. You then have to get out and take the ferry or the monorail, like we were talking before. And if it's in the morning, you're trying to get to early entry, you're trying to rope drop, you're trying to get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you know, that whole thing, you want to get closer. Minivans are the only car service that will drop you at the gate at Magic Kingdom. That is going to save you so much time. So, you know, if you don't want to wait for a bus, which is what else is going to take you straight to the gate at Magic Kingdom, you can get a minivan. It's going to zip you right there. Kids safely in their car seats. Cast member telling you all kinds of cool info. Drop you off at the gate. I mean, there you go. What could be better?
Honestly, I'm not sure if there, you know, if there is anything at that point, because it is, it's, you know, it's a definitely a convenience.
It is. Thing. Now, I will say, so it used to be the minivans also did, you know, they're on property, but they also went back and forth to Orlando Airport. They have not fully brought that back, but they have brought it back for club level guests. So if you're staying at a deluxe resort or Coronado Springs and staying club level, minivans are an option for you for airport transportation. I believe it's $199 each way. And hopefully they're going to bring that back, you know, in general for everybody.
Hopefully, you know, down the line.
Yeah.
But to finish it off with, I mean, if you're like me, I mean, sometimes I, from Texas, it's just under 1,000-mile drive. Mm. I mean, but I'm one of those crazy people that, well, shoot, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. 16 hours in the car. We're packed up in the old Explorer and we're gone type of thing. So, you know, you can bring your own car down there. Thankfully, I'm thrilled that they took away what they were charging for parking at the hotels.
Yeah.
Thank God. So
finally, that is gone.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know, like when you stay at the resorts and you have your own car, or even if you have a rental car, you know, you don't have to pay the $25 or $30, whatever it is now, to park at the theme parks either. Parking's included when you stay at a Walt Disney World Resort hotel.
That's a pretty penny to save, if you ask me, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. $25, $30 a day, there's four parks.
Yeah.
That'll.
And you would have to pay it if you're park hopping, you'd have to pay it for both parks.
Yeah.
So.
We used to drive. It's 17 and a half hours for us. And the first several years that we were going with the kids, we always drove. And it was nice. I mean, listen, it's far, but then it's also nice to have your own car on property. It really is. And have, you know, doing away with those parking fees is huge.
It's a convenience factor.
Yeah.
Pretty much every park except for Magic Kingdom.
Well, right.
That's where I won. You take that minivan.
Yeah.
But even at that point, and you know, driving the roads of Disney for so many years, I mean, it's not difficult to navigate out there. Unfortunately, they're starting to change the signs from that purple to the blue, and I'm not thrilled.
Mm,
I mean, the purple was just OG,
and you
could always spot it type of thing.
Why mess
but,
with it?
You know, your resorts are all kind of labeled around a theme park or Disney Springs, for example. So if you're staying like, I don't know, Port Orleans French Quarter, well, technically that's actually classified as a Disney Springs resorts. So as long as you follow the signs towards Disney Springs, you'll start seeing signs for your resort. So just, you know, little different things to look at. And also don't cut off the buses when you're trying to move from the left lane to hit that exit right there at Epcot Center Drive. It's just don't speed. It's 45 miles an hour. The Mickey bars will still be there when you get to Hollywood Studios. It'll be okay.
You know, it's funny. I've had people drive down but then they like to have their car in case of emergency or something, but then they prefer to take the Disney transportation. They're like, oh, it's just easier to take the buses or to take the, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay.
Whatever. I think so.
It's what you want to do.
It's staying in the Disney bubble. That's how my wife and I, you know, say it. We're driving down, but the car usually sits for a week unless we're going to get, like, you know, water or adult beverages from the Target down the road. So,
and speaking of adult beverages, it's food and wine season, guys. Don't drink and drive. 100%. Don't do
it. Use Disney transport.
Yeah.
Use the Disney transport. Be safe.
Totally true.
Exactly. Well, folks, well, I do believe that kind of does it for this week's episode here on the Mouse Ears Podcast. We do have a Facebook group, so come join us on the Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook page. We do have an Instagram page as well, but this one, that's for the Mouse Ears blog. So make sure to come follow us there as well for all the latest news and episode details. If you are interested in having one of our wonderful agents at Fairytale Journeys Travel book your next vacation, you can visit us at fairytalejourneystravel.com or just, you know, send us a DM. Well, for the four of us, I mean, you know, where can our listeners find you guys? Brooks, where can they find you, my man?
So you can find me on Facebook and on Instagram and on TikTok at FTJ by Brooks.
Very good. Steph, how about you?
You can find me on Instagram at FTJ by Stephanie PG and on Facebook at Fairytale Journeys by Stephanie Perrette Gentile. You can find it in the show notes because I know it's a long one.
That you do, because you do write it for us every week. Kara, how about you? Where can they find you?
Well, I'll tell you where you can find me, but I've been slacking on the trivia, which I apologize for. So I actually have two trivia questions tonight to make up for it. So let me first tell you where you can find me. I'm at Fairytale Journeys by Kara with a K on Facebook, Fairytale Journeys by Kara with a K on Instagram, and Diz Kara, D-I-S underscore Kara on TikTok. So these are my two trivia questions. First one, there are 7 water bridges in the entire world. How many of them are in Disney? That's trivia question number one. And then number two, the friendship boats. There are 9. There are 9 friendship boats in Disney World. 8 of them are named Friendship 1, Friendship 2, etc. through Friendship 8. What is the name of the 9th boat that is not Friendship something?
I cannot. So make sure, you know, come visit us on Facebook and or you can comment, you know, as well on the podcast. But for me, you could find me FTJ by Kelton on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Well, if you like listening to us, at least, you know, we'd love to have you guys leave us a review. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and now Google Podcasts. So we're spreading the Disney magic out there. Mm-hmm. So until next episode, y'all have a wonderful morning, noon, or night. We'll see you guys soon. Bye, everybody.
Good night, everyone. See you soon.